Let's begin. Firstly, it's great seeing everyone from all different places. Eish Kodesh, Boca, YU. As I was saying before, I only had a little bit time to prepare and jot some notes. I was away the past couple of days. So I'll just share just some thoughts. Hopefully they'll make sense. I assume you know what month we're in now, right? Shvat. So let's talk a little bit about Shvat. Bnei Yisrael has very, very little about Shvat, but there's a lot to be said about the month of Shvat. So, Chodesh Shvat, every month has a mazel to it, a certain image that represents the nature, the kedusha of the month. And the mazel of Shvat is the mazel of a dili. A dili is a pail. So it's based on the Sefer Yetzirah. The Bnei Sascha writes that he quotes on the Amru HaTochniyim HaRishonim. Earlier, Mefarshim, he quotes in the footnotes who they might be, Rav Haigon, the Ibn Ezra, that Mazel of Dili is also the Mazel of Yisrael. That this month of Shvat is the month of Klal Yisrael, even though the Gemara does say, in Mazel Yisrael, he explains there still is Taka Mazel to Klal Yisrael. So we are the Mazel of Dili. We're a pale pitcher of water to draw water from the well. So what's the significance of the Dili, and how does this connect to Shvat, and how does it connect to everyone in this room, and all of Klal Yisrael? So he says that the Dili is also Lishov B'mayim V'zeh Pulaso. The whole function of a pail is to just draw water up. To draw water, bring water up, empty it out, lower it, draw water up. It just keeps doing the same thing, drawing water. It's Meshamish El Hamayim, it serves the water, it's an Eved to the water. And as we know, V'ein Mayim El Torah, whenever the word water, Mayim appears, it means Torah, K'mo Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Hoy Kol Tzamei L'chu L'mayim. Everyone who's thirsty should go drink water. So the idea is that the Dili, the pail, is there to draw water. Somehow, Chodesh Shvat is representing the pail to draw water. Drawing Torah, l'horos al ha'amur d'mazalo shel Yisrael, hu eved mishamish el ha'Torah. So, in other words, our mazel, what we represent, what our tafkid in this world is to be like a pail, is to be an eved. Like the pail is an eved to the water, we are an eved to the Torah. We have to serve the Torah in such a way. Ayidei esek ha'Torah u'mitzvos yishapech ha'kol ha'tov. By learning, by performing mitzvahs, we turn everything into tov. Ulechol asher yechbotzu yatu as a mazel, everything we desire, kevin shem mazel and whoever mishamish el Torah. Our goal, our tafkid in this world is simply to be eved Hashem. And that means to be an eved to the water, to be an eved to a Torah. So we have to understand what it means to be an eved. And now, who to look to in the Torah and Tanakh as the prototype of an eved? It's none other than Eliezer Eved Avram. The Gemara tells us that Avraham Avinu was the beginning of the Tekuf of Torah. Even though Torah wasn't given until generations later, he really began the Tekuf of Torah. The Chazal tells the first 2,000 years, the 6,000 years of the world. The first 2,000 years is Tohu. There was chaos. There was no Torah. The next 2,000 years is Torah. And the final 2,000 years is Yemos Mashiach. So we're now in Yemos Mashiach now. Even though Mashiach isn't here, we are in the footsteps of Mashiach. So Avram Avinu was born 1948, not 1948 of the secular calendar, but 1948 of the Jewish calendar. And at the age, Machlok is in Midrashim, when exactly he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but some say it was at the age of 52. He recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is 2000. So the year 2000, when Avram recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he recognized the Torah. That was the beginning of the Torah, the Tekuf of Torah. So now Eliezer Eved Avram is an Eved to Avram. He's an Eved to the Limud HaTorah. So now listen to this. He writes, it says with respect to Eliezer Eved HaNeman Shel Avram Avinu, he was called Uven Mesek Besi Hu Damesek Eliezer. And if you recall Rashi Al HaTorah on that pasuk, he quotes in the Gemara Yuma, what does Damesek mean? Damesek stands for Dola, the Dalet is for Dola, and the Mem and Shin Kuf is Mashke. He's Dola U'Mashke. Dola he Dali is to lower. A person who's dal is poor. Gomel dalim is to give those who are lacking, those who are low. Dala means to lower. And mashke means to draw up the water. So dole mashke domestically means that dole mashke mitoras rabo lacher, that he would draw water from Avram Vinu to teach others. So what it means to be a dli, it means to be an eved to the mayim, an eved to the Torah. Al kein mazal dli hu mazal until you saw. That's why we are the mazal of dli, ki hadli hu ha'eved meshamish l'mayim to the Torah, va'eved ein lo ratzon ba'atzmo. We have no ratzon on our own, ki im ratzon ha'adon. Our ratzon has to be the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's understand this now, just for a little bit. To be an Eved, there are two elements we need. Number one is Ratzon Adam. Number two is you have to be an Oved, you have to work. You have to have fantasies, you have to have goals, ambitions, and then you have to actually implement them. So the Eved has no Ratzon on his own. His Ratzon is bottled to whatever the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So you need a ratzon to accomplish, and then you need to actually implement something. There's a beautiful Chavetz Chaim that explains why is Torah compared to water. So Gemara tells us in Tainus that Maim always goes to the bottom, it always drops to the lowest point, so to Torah it can only be Miskayim in a person who's very low, who's humble. Chavetz Chaim explains a different reason. Water is unique. It's a unique drink, a unique food that you only see a bracha when you're thirsty for the water. Halacha, if you have, you're taking medicine, you drink water, so you don't say bracha on the water. You're coughing, you drink water to clear your throat, you don't say bracha. Well, that's no gebez manaz, that's a different story, but halacha l'maisa, you don't say bracha unless you drink water because you're thirsty. So too says the Chavetz Chaim, you're only going to be successful in learning if you're thirsty for the Torah. You have that ratzon, you have that cheshek to learn. In order to accomplish something, you need to have that cheshek. You need ratzon and you need a melus. That's why we say at the end of every single sim, on the ratzon v'heim ratzon. Ratzon means to run, but you run after something you want. Like little kids run after the ball, they want the ball. So to run means to have a ratzon for something. You don't run after something you don't want. So that's why you run to shul. You want to go to shul. If you don't want to go to shul, then you walk to shul. So on the ratzon v'heim ratzon, but we run to something we want. They run to what they want. Anu amelim v'heim amelim, but ratzon's not enough. You have to put the amelus in. So the first thing is really establishing a person's ratzon, what your cheshek is, what your desire is. So I don't like talking about this publicly, but since I'm so close with many of you here from times we spent together, people often will ask me about how to finish Shas. So I usually tell them I'm not interested in talking about it. And unless they really push me, I'm not here to advertise anything that I accomplish. But if a person really wants to do something similar, so then I'm willing to talk to them and explain to them some of the strategies I've picked up along the way. But I'll use that just as a little bit of an example because I'm here to hopefully encourage you to learn not to copy or emulate anyone else, but what you're able to accomplish. But to use, I only know what I can do. And what I've done, so to use that somewhat as a lesson for maybe what you could accomplish as well. So how does one accomplish a goal? So, well, you first need a goal. You have to have ratzon to do something. If you have no ratzon, if you don't know what you want to be when you grow up, you're not going to accomplish anything. If you have no goals. There's a mice I once heard. Dr. Pelkovitz was once spending some time in the Upper West Side. A number of singles live in the Upper West Side. And he was having a Shabbos Suda, some single men and some single women at the table. And he went around the room just to everyone to introduce themselves. What's your name? What do you do? And he said, come out. Every single woman was saying she was like, a partner in the law firm and a doctor in this place and then a PhD here. And we're very well accomplished. And out to the men, they're all like, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing in this world. I don't know. ESPN, Sports Center all day long. Like, mamish doing nothing. Zero ambition, zero sense of goals. Now, he was trying to figure out what's pshat with that. So he had a pshat. He thought that maybe because the world we live in, men are so ambitious that they want to be the best at whatever they do. And anything short is a failure. So if they're not Warren Buffett, they're not Reb Chaim Kanievsky, then why even try? But the point is you need to have a goal before you can even get started. You have to have ratzon. Now, what's so special about ratzon is the Sfiga Ratzon is the closest thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. There's no boundaries to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My fantasy, your ability to think, you could think of anything you want. You could fantasize about, you know, owning, you know, buildings in Manhattan. You could fantasize about knowing Shas Baal Peh. You can fantasize about anything you want to in this world. There's no limit to your Ratzon. So that's why the Ratzon is like the closest thing to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's infinite to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's infinite. He's an infinite being. My Ratzon, your Ratzon is infinite. There's no limitations. There's no threshold what you could think to accomplish. So you can have a Ratzon, something that you really want. What do you want to accomplish? It could be to finish Shas in however many weeks, months, years, a lifetime. It could be to master Maseches Makos and Noah Baal Peh. Whatever you could have a Ratzon, whatever you feel that is your passion. Nothing's going to limit what your Ratzon is. The question is how you're going to implement it. But the first thing is you need a Ratzon. To think about, you know, tonight, what do you want to accomplish? And it doesn't have to be in the world, you know, in learning. It could be you want to accomplish building yeshivas. You want to build the shuls. You want to build chesed organizations. But think about this. I know you're young, each of you. But think about some type of Ratzon, of something in Ruchnis that you want to accomplish. It's also true in Kashmis. You might want to be a big finance guy, a big real estate guy. But we're here to talk about Ruchnis right now. So think about what you want to accomplish. Fantasize about this Ratzon. Now, once you have this Ratzon, then you have to figure out how to implement this Ratzon. Now, no one overnight finishes Shas. No one overnight masters Maseches Makos. It just can't happen. It doesn't work that way. So you have to figure out what's a strategy. How do you implement such a thing? How do you accomplish your goal? So that's the other element of an Eved about being an Oved. It requires a Melus. It requires strategy. You know, oftentimes, we think in yeshiva that things will just happen. Things will happen on its own. But things require strategy. If you want to accomplish something, you want to be a Rav, a Rebbe, everyone, you know, thinks that they're going to be the next Rosh Hashiva in YU, or they're going to be getting the top high school shiur in, I don't know, TABC, MTA, or DRS. That's what they all think that they're like set out for. And maybe you have the qualifications for that. Maybe you do. But you know, there's only one shiur, and there might be 50 guys like you. So you have to really figure out, if you want to be teaching at a high level, you want to be accomplishing something, how are you going to implement this? It requires a strategy. So in terms of Limud HaTorah and accomplishing big hasagos in Limud HaTorah, which is what Shvat is all about, so you have a Ratzon, you already set a goal what you want for yourself. You guys are learning Chulin this year, right? Mm-hmm. You want to finish Chulin at the end of this month. So figure out how many dafer and Chulin and how much time do you have, and then make a plan for yourself. You have to really make a plan. You know how much free time there is in a day, in your life? I know you have college as well, and some of you are dating and obligations to the family. But there's so much time to take advantage of. So when I had this Ratzon to finish Shas, to make a Siman Shas, so my inspiration was, I had an older brother-in-law, my wife's brother, who made a Siman Shas. And I said, if he did it, and he's much better than I, but maybe I could do this also. So that was like an inspiration. But how do you accomplish this? So for me, like, I was thinking about all these things over the course of a few weeks. How will I do this? Can I do this? I see a guy who's working. He's walking to the subway, and he's learning a Mishnah while he's walking to the subway. Who does that? And then that's 2 days later, I saw another guy on my block who's walking from shul to his house learning a Mishnah. Wait a second, these are just regular guys. If they could, like, take advantage of their time, a few seconds walking, I could do the same thing. And so for me, it worked out well. I was going to YU, traveling from the Five Towns to YU. Then I got a job in DRS, and then I stopped. I just earned myself 2 extra hours during the daytime to take advantage of my time. How much time is wasted at a chuppah? It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. You bring a mishabura, a gemara, something, a chumash, a mishah, whatever speaks to you. You could learn so much. You could go through like 4 blot at a chuppah. Like, you need to take advantage of time. I'm not sure I mentioned this in the Boca Kollel, but I've said this in the past. I always do this introduction before the Summer Kollel begins, that those who want to join the Summer Kollel, speak to Elliot or Max, helping recruit the guys. But I always say, for myself personally, the biggest leap in my own Limud HaTorah was Morsha Kollel. When you take advantage of time off, and you want to learn, Those are the biggest leaps in Limud HaTorah. Now, it's not for everyone. I have close friends of mine who had nervous breakdowns from Rosh HaKolo. It's pretty intense. You know, for me, I spent my first Shabbos there, and it was extremely intense. I never learned that much on Shabbos ever since then. It was wild. So after that, what I would do, I learned really hard all week. And then Shabbos, I had a good friend of mine who had a place, his parents had a place in Vacation Village. I go to Vacation Village for Shabbos and take it easy and then build up for the next week. I'm a very big proponent of time off. I am. Vacation and breaks are very, very important. But how much break do you need? So when you're taking advantage of a winter vacation to go learn in Boca, you're taking advantage of a summer call to go learn in Boca or Ish Kodesh or Toronto or Chicago, wherever they have the kolam. If you have the ability, if you do have that ability, those are going to be the biggest leaps in your Limud HaTorah. The biggest leaps. Because that shows your ratzon to learn. That shows the cheshek to learn. You know, what does the ratzon mean? What does the cheshek mean? So people have addictions. You have addictions to certain things. So like in high school, I was addicted to basketball. I played basketball all day long. Now, I think a lot about Michael Jordan's speech at he inducted to the Hall of Fame. Anyone know the speech he gave? It was similar to someone recently who got inducted to the Hall of Fame, someone told me. But it was his whole speech, Michael Jordan's whole speech was an attack against his high school coach who cut him from the team. And he, you know, lived his life to prove him otherwise. And he did. He proved him wrong. But he worked hard at it. Now, obviously, he's got a lot of natural talent. But he was addicted to basketball. He is addicted to basketball. I was learning the Kol HaElyon here in YU. I once just looked around the 15 of us, and like 10 of us of the 15 played high school or high school hockey or high school basketball. We were very serious competitors. And we just took that koach, that competitive nature, the will to win and to accomplish, and we just applied it to Limud HaTorah. So everyone has a passion about something. It could be a passion to eat, it could be a passion for, I don't know, as also I like math, some people like math, passion for mathematics, passion for whatever it's a passion about, politics. That same passion is a certain addiction you could apply and you should apply to Limud HaTorah. So that's what it means to be an Eved. Eved means to be mamash addicted to Limud HaTorah in a healthy way, though. And breaks are good. It has to be very, very healthy, a mentally healthy way. It's much more of a Musar Shmuz than a Sirish Shmuz, but this is where it's going, guys.
Very okay. Unexpected.
But the truth is, that's what the Shvat's all about. B'nai Saskar points out that as Moshe Benu says in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, "V'ashteya sarchodesh be'echad lachodesh." The first day of the 11th month, which is Shvat, Hoyil Moshe ber heitev as a Torah zos leimu. Moshe Benu was explaining the Torah. He had a certain koach in the kedusha of Shvat, because the mazel of Shvat, the kedusha of Shvat, is the inyan of Limud HaTorah, understanding Torah. So I can't not speak about this, guys. I'm sorry for the Moshe, but Moshe is good also sometimes. The only way to the Moshe Benu had this certain had a certain siyata d'shmaya and chodesh shvat. Dafka then he was able to understand the Torah and explain the Torah to Klal Yisrael. So the kedusha exists in the month. This is the month to tap into it, but you can't just sit back and do nothing. The only way to really take advantage is really through the Amelis B'Torah. And this is a reference, perhaps, to the pasuk. We know Yehuda was sent down to Mitzrayim to build a Beis Medrash. And the bracha that Yaakov had given to Yehuda was Lo Yasir Shevet Mi Yehuda, Shevet Lashon of Shvat. That Shvat is a Lashon of a Shevet, which means a stick, a staff. Which means, like, you need to work hard, like an Eved. You hit an Eved to have him continue working. Lo Yasir Shevet Mi Yehuda, you can't take the staff away, you can't stop hitting. You have to keep pounding away the Limud HaTorah. There's a story I just saw from David Lelover. He was a young boy. So Naaman HaMelech was beginning to become popular. And of course, there's a lot of hisnagdus to the Naaman HaMelech. So Rav David Lelever, when he was a young boy, he snuck away from his family for a little bit to go learn by the Noam HaLamelech. When he came back, and he was immersed in Torah and Hasidus, his father was noticeably upset at him. Very upset. And his father got up, was looking around the house for something. David Lelever wasn't sure what his father was doing, and then finally it dawned upon him. So he ran, and he assumed his father wanted to take a stick to hit him. He goes, finds a stick, and he gives it to his father. He says, "Here, you can beat me with this stick now." So the mice was brought to show the godless and the kibud av that David Lelever had to his father, that he was willing to find a stick so his father could hit him. Of course, I'm not encouraging anyone to hit their children. But the inyan of Shvat is really to work on the amelus. You know, the spring is right around the corner. The trees and flowers are beginning to grow. It's getting nicer out, 65 degrees today. You want to go outside and play ball, and that's all very nice and important, and go swimming. But Shvat is a reminder you have to stay really strong. You have to keep the ratzon of the Eved Avram. You have to keep the fantasies of what you want to accomplish straight, and the only way to accomplish things are really to put the amelus in. The pasuk says that Adam la'amel yula, that man was created to be amel in this world. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says we have the option how to apply that amelus. We could either apply the amelus to making a lot of money, or we could apply that amelus to limud haTorah. It's up to us to make that decision. We're all going to be amel in something. We have passion for something. What's it going to be for? So the amelus is the animal that symbolizes amelus is the chamor, the donkey. Pasuk says that Yisachar, who of course is the shevet of limud haTorah, Yisachar chamor garem is the pasuk he got. Yisachar was the symbol of the chamor, the donkey. And one of the struggles that we have, you know, I know when I was younger, also when I was your age, learning hard and trying to figure out how to accomplish things and learning. I remember like spending a whole year just figuring out how to like just pick a sugya, let alone learning a sugya. Like I didn't know like how they knew like a sugya was here to start looking into like Rishonim. I was just so lost. And so oftentimes you put a lot of amelus in it and you don't know where you're heading. You don't know where you're going with this. But you'll see over time, you'll be like in 4 years from now, you'll look back and see how much you've accomplished, how much you really know. You'll be amazed. Like you think you know nothing. But now remember what you knew when you were in 11th grade or 12th grade and what you know now. And now, whatever age you are now, imagine 4 years what you're going to know and accomplish. So we feel like we're just drained around sometimes, you know, like a donkey just schlepping and not accomplishing anything. So there's a beautiful Meshech Chachma in the Parsha and yesterday in Parsha's Bo, last week's Parsha. And we have this whole incredible story, most fascinating ma'isim in the Torah of Parshas Bo and the Makos completing on Karban Pesach and continues into Parshas B'Shalach and Kriyas Yamsuf and the Shira. And it's a very strange thing that right in the middle, the Torah feels the need to have a separation of two mitzvahs, Pidyon HaBen and Petach Hamor. It goes off on a tangent. Are we having the story of Arba and Choshech and Makas Becharos and the Karim Pesach to put the blood on the doorposts and the Kadosh Baruch Hu jumping over from house to house? And then, before getting back to the story, oh, by the way, there's a mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen and Petach Hamor. It's a very strange interruption. And there's Yerushalmi that says that the Pidyon Petach Hamor and the Pidyon HaBen are kapar from Bechias Yosef. There's a cheshbon by the Yishalmi that the amount of money given for the Pidyon HaBen, the five slum, equals the amount of money that Yosef was sold for. So when you pay the Pidyon HaBen, the five silver coins for your son, you're being mechaper for the Bechias Yosef. That's what the Yishalmi says. So Meshech Chachma asks the question, I don't understand. If really Pinyon HaBen is a kapar from Mechias Yosef, so any descendants from Yosef should be exempt from paying Pinyon HaBen. They weren't responsible. Yosef was the victim. and Shevet Ephraim and Shevet Manasseh should not have to pay for Pinyon HaBen. And on the flip side, Shevet Levi, who are exempt, should be obligated to pay Pinyon HaBen. And then Shevet Kohuna, the Kohanim, should get money off of this. They should make money off of the Pinyon HaBen. They were just as responsible as anyone else was responsible. So how does that connect, the Pinyon HaBen to Bechiras Yosef? So you guys are young. I'm not sure if you guys were zochei yet to see any Hashgacha Pratis in your life just yet. But as you grow older, you're going to sometimes see Hashgacha Pratis as it happens. Sometimes you're only going to see Hashgacha Pratis after the fact, in the rearview mirror. And sometimes we're not zochei to see Hashgacha Pratis at all. But it's always there. There's a fascinating discussion in the Rishonim whether or not Hashgacha Pratis applies to an animal or not. The Rambam says Hashgacha Klalis applies to an animal, which means that Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over the min, the species, but not about every single lion and every single dog and cat. It's just Hashgacha Klalis. And others hold that, no, there's Hashgacha Pratis by animals as well, and by grass, and every blade of grass, and every flower, and every tree, and every leaf. But everyone agrees by Adam, by man, it's certainly Hashgacha Pratis. So in our lives, there's a Hashgacha Pratis. I'll share one Maisa with you about my own life. My whole life, all our lives are Hashgacha Pratis. I'm old enough to look back and see a lot of it. You guys are not there yet. So one Maisa I had where I mamashal Hashgacha Pratis while it was happening. So I was applying to, I don't think I shared this with you guys, or I did, you could stop me. I shared in Boca, could be. I did share in a book, actually. I applied to the Kol Elyon. So if you guys, it's a repeat for you. Even you were there for that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the Maisa was that I was applying to the Kol Elyon. The way it works, the Kol Elyon, it's the Kol here, those who don't know. It's after you get Smicha. So you take a Bechina with Rav Shechter, Rav Willig, Rav Rodenzweig, each separately. Rav Chalap used to be, Rav Bleich. I don't know who's part of the list. And so Rav Shechter is usually the hardest because Rav Shechter could ask you anything he wants. And in his mind, everything's easy. So he could ask you from the world of Zerahim, Kachim, Taros to Moed if you're lucky. For him, it's like whatever's on his mind. So part of being accomplished in this world requires strategy, guys, okay? You have to be simple, but don't be too naive, okay? You have to be smart, street smart. So I got lucky in this one, though. So when I applied to the Katz Kolo, which is the kol for the smicha. So I went for a bechina. You have to take a bechina the Rav Shechter. It's an easier bechina. Everyone gets in, even if you like do bad. Everyone gets in. You have to just still get a bechina. So I went. It was the day after Pesach. I went to get a bechina from him for the Katz kol, and he asked me a question: whether or not Sfiras Omer is a deraisa or a derabanan bezman hazeh. So I happened to have recently given a shir on this, so I knew some of the marmakomos. And then he asked me about Melach Hashem Tzich L'Gufa, Chai V'Pater, and that was it. Okay, very, very brief. Fast forward 4 years now, when I'm applying to the Kol HaElyon, I was very nervous to get a Bechina Rav Shechter. I didn't know him very well at the time. So I said, listen, Rav Shechter is a very systematic thinker. So knowing him, he probably starts reviewing Sfir Somer right after Pesach, like he did 4 years earlier. So I go to him the day after Pesach for Bechina the Kol HaElyon, and see what happens. So Pesach's over, I come back the first day of Yeshiva. I walk up to Rav Shechter. This was back in the days when Rav Shechter was in the, what do you call that one? Zeisman, right? Zeisman, yeah. So he's sitting in the front, and I went up to him. I said, I want to take a Bechina for the Kol HaElyon to sit down. He asks, is Sfiras Omer the Raisa or the Rabban? So I nailed it. And that time I came a little bit more prepared. I had more marmakomos to talk about. And that morphed into a conversation about Hallel and Havdalah, very light topics for what it could have been. So I was doing fairly well. And maybe 20 minutes into this conversation, so we were learning Baba Kama that year. And he was starting to build up a shaila about mazik, grama, garmi, different type of indirect damage, which I didn't know much about other than the Ramban has a sefer and Dina de Garmi. So he was building up the shaila. And he's about to just rock me. If it stopped there, I would have got in. But if it continued, I wouldn't get in. If he knew, I knew nothing about Garmi stuff, I wouldn't get in. So he's building up a question. And a guy walks up and says, I'm sorry to interrupt, And this is back in the day. You guys are probably too young to know this, but they used to have like payphones. So, you know, when you walk like towards MTA, across from the bathroom, the men's bathroom, there's a like a little folding door with a, I think it's a folding door with a little payphone, which is pretty much if you had a shalit for a shechter, you call it a payphone. Some guy's walking by and answers the phone and gets a shechter. So the guy interrupts and says, "I'm sorry, Rav Shechter has a phone call outside." So that this is like a very like key moment. Does he tell me to wait? Does he tell me to go? He looks at me and says, "Oh, you did very well." And that was it. It ended. He's about to slaughter me. I'm telling you. He's about to slaughter me. So on the way back, my friend says, "You owe me half your paycheck." So it was a good friend of mine, but this was not orchestrated at all. But this is Mamash Hashkacha. I got in. I would not have gotten in had he asked the question. So that was Mamash Hashkacha. So sometimes we're zocheh to see that Hashkacha while it happens, and sometimes only after the fact. And you, as you guys continue to learn, and you may not see, you know, the fruits of your labor just yet. We say, Ano meilu mehema meilu, Ano meilu mekavim sachar. We do receive sachar for this. We do. But the more you plug away, you're going to see that, because there's Hashkacha in everything you accomplish. You don't see it right now. The amelus you're putting in, you're going to see how it's going to pay off. So the Meshech Chachma writes that Pinyon HaBen and Petach HaMor all represented Hashkacha Pratis. When they went down to Mitzrayim, they thought they went down to Mitzrayim because they sold Yosef. They thought this was a punishment. When the brothers came down to Yosef, the first thing he said was, "Don't worry, this was the Kadosh Baruch Hu's master plan. You did nothing wrong. I wasn't a victim, you didn't do an Aveira." And now as they're finally leaving Mitzrayim, they came down with people of 70, and they're leaving with hundreds of thousands of Jews now, full of gold and silver, to Kabbalah Satorah. So now they realize this was Hashkacha. This was part of the process. So the Yerushalmi is telling us that the fact that Levi is exempt in the Ephraim Menashe pay, because there was no victim, and there's no Aveira, there's no punishment. It looked like an Aveira. From our perspective, it looked like something happened wrong, and it looked like this was a punishment for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, nothing changes. Everything is Hashkacha Pratis. So, right when they were leaving Mitzrayim, do the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. I want the Ephraim and Menashe to pay, I want Levi to be exempt, to show you that there's no Aveira. Because this was all part of the master plan. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumped over from Bechor to Bechor, those who kept the mitzvah of Karban Pesach and those who didn't, that was the Hashkacha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down. And to save those Jews who believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Dafka, at that moment, it was not an interruption to the story. This was being megalitas to clarify that this was the essence of the entire story. This is all Hashkacha Pratis. And you sometimes don't see this from the beginning, and that's what Petach HaMor is as well. What's Petach HaMor? The mitzvah is, those who don't know, the firstborn donkey. You take the donkey and you pod it onto a seh, a sheep, a kosher animal, and you give that to the Kohen. Says the Meshech Chachma, we came down on donkeys of 70 people, and we left on donkeys of hundreds of thousands of donkeys full of gold and silver. The idea is that a chamor is a non-kosher animal. It's strange that there's a bechor to a non-kosher animal. Because sometimes on the outside, things look tough, things look treif, things look bad. Avdus Mitzrayim look terrible. It looked like an Aveira, looked like a Kapara, looked like an Onesh. Sometimes we go through life and things look terrible. Sometimes we go through learning and that Amelus isn't always so fun. Pushing ourselves, pressing ourselves. But in the end of the day, we're going to see it's all going to pay off. You may not see this now, but trust me, if you keep sticking to it, you're going to redeem that Chamor for a Seh. You're going to redeem that Chamor for the fruit of your labor. You have to just stick with it. Now, this is not the time to share my life. Maybe another time we could do that. But I'm telling you, I was, you know, you might think of me as different than you guys were, and I'm not. You know, people like to say, and I'm happy people say this, I am normal. I'm down to earth. I went to Frisch, played basketball, hockey. I was in school with Jared Kushner. You know, no different than you guys. Probably less than you guys. I don't have I'm not smarter than you guys. And the extra kochos, but all it takes, I'm telling you, is just putting time and energy, a love for Limud HaTorah. And again, it's going to feel painful. The beginnings are hard. It's like a chamor, it feels like it's a davar tumah. But in the end of the day, the seh, what comes out. I mean, the fact that I'm an Esh Kodesh makes absolutely no sense. Remember one time, Judah Michel, he spoke in Esh Kodesh. So we were in Frisch together. So he's 2 years older than me. So I introduced him. Rav Weinberg wasn't there that Shabbos. So I said something along the lines like, you know, when I was in Frisch, no one ever would have guessed I'd be speaking from the pulpit in Esh Kodesh. One is being a rabbi, and number two is like in Esh Kodesh. That those two just, neither one of them would have ever, no one could have thought of that. I was like a weird combination of a math geek and a gym rat. And Rav Judah Michel, you could have guessed he was going to be some type of rabbi in the future. That you could have guessed. He had those kochos from the beginning. So I'm not telling everyone here to be a rabbi or rebbe. All I'm saying is figure out what your passion is, what your rutzel, what do you want to accomplish. And if it's that you want to be a rabbi or rebbe, if you want to be a worker and a learner, whatever that is, if you have that rutzel, you could have any rutzel you want. Just make sure you put the amelis in, and it's going to happen. So I'll finish off with the maisa. There's a secular Jew, a doctor named Dr. Bernhard. And Dr. Bernhard was a very chashuv doctor in Europe. And one time, a patient of his got very ill. And the ill patient wanted to go to the hot springs in Europe. And Dr. Bernhard discouraged him from going because he says, you have only a day or two of left of your life. You're not going to make it there. Why do you want to die while you're traveling? Just stay home and die with your family. But the patient was insistent that he wanted to go to the hot springs, hoping he could make it there and somehow it would heal him. So he went against the words of Dr. Bernhard. And along the way, he found out there was some rabbi, Reb David Lelever, who we spoke about earlier, who lived nearby. Patient said, maybe I'll go get a bracha from the rabbi. Maybe he'll help me out with something. So he stops by and finds the rabbi. And he asks the lelever for a bracha. He tells him what he's sick with. He says, the doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. Here's some cheese, some schnapps. Make a l'chaim, you'll be fine. So nothing to lose at that point. He had some cheese and schnapps, made a l'chaim. And somehow he was healed. So he went back home. He went to the doctor, and the doctor was white as can be. He's like, how in the world are you still alive? I told him, I saw this rabbi. He gave me cheese and schnapps. The doctor said, those are the worst things for your condition. So he gave me bracha. I'm alive. What do you want to tell you? So the doctor, Bernhard, says, okay, he wants to meet this rabbi at some point. He wasn't like running to go meet him, but he said, oh, one day I'll be zochah to meet this guy, see what this guy's about. A couple weeks later, there was a wealthy man who got very sick. And needed the attention of a very chashuv doctor, so he had summoned Dr. Bernhard to come. So Dr. Bernhard was traveling to go see this wealthy man, and before he got there, the man died. So he didn't even get to treat him. And when he was there, he says, you know what, I know that Rabbi David Lelever is nearby, let me go visit him. I'm here, I was curious to meet this guy. So he goes into to the Rebbe, and before he could say a thing, the Rebbe says, you know, there's a pasuk in Tanakh and Chumash, and Nevim rather, that Shaul and his assistant, before Shaul was appointed king, he was looking for a lost donkey, a chamor. And after they found it, Shaul said, you know, I know there's an Ish Elokim, there's a Navi in this city, let's go visit him, ask why we came. So the Lelever says, what do you mean why you came? You know why you came. You came to find your donkey. Why are you asking the Navi why you came? So he ended up going to Shmuel, and Shmuel says, you're going to be appointed to be king, your Shaul HaMelech now. So you see that the donkey had led him onto a journey to make sure he was appointed. The lelever says to Dr. Bernhard, you didn't come to treat a patient, he died before you got here. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent you here to come meet me. That was why you were sent in. You're following this donkey to find me. We have a lot to talk about, God, Tshuva, and Torah. Dr. Bernhard turned around, became a big chassid of Lelever and the Chozim Lublin, and became a Rebbe in his own right to a certain extent. And the answer is oftentimes we feel like we're following this chamor, this donkey, you know, on this journey that we don't know where we're going. And you guys don't know. Like, I feel bad for you guys trying to figure out what major you want to be and what jobs you want to do. Like, it's crazy for a 22-year-old to figure out what they want to be when they grow up. Like, you have no idea what it's like to be an accountant, an actuary, a finance guy, a doctor. Like, but it's all hashkacha pratis. So you go on a certain journey. You have a certain ratzon that you want to accomplish. Kadosh Baruch Hu sends you that way. You have to just pay attention to the signs. So that chamor, and we hit that chamor, that it says that Bilam hit the chamor with a shevet, with a stick. So the month of Shvat is a koach of the kedusha of Torah, but you have to stick to it. You have to stick to it and follow that amelus. So we're told that the same chamor that Avram Avinu rode on, 1948, 2000, is the same chamor that the Mashiach's going to arrive on. That chamor represents, you know, Klai Yisrael dragging around in Gullus in this journey that we don't know where we're going. But in the end of the day, that chamor is going to come out like a seh. It's going to come out with carrying Mashiach, and it's going to bring about the Gula. So that's true on the global and the national level, that Klai Yisrael is going to be redeemed by this chamor and this seh. So it's so chashu. That's why Pidyon Petach Chamor is the end of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Gula's Mitzrayim, because that's what's going to lead to the Gula of the current Gullus. I have this joke with of a good friend of mine. We learned together. So when I was in the Kol Elyon, so my first year, we learned Maseches Bechoros. So it's very daunting to give a, you have to, everyone has to give a Chabura. Very daunting to give a Chabura in front of a Willig, and a Willig's exact name, Rodenzweig, and the other, you know, very smart people. Remember, I only got in there because of my friend Donnie Glernter. I didn't deserve to be there. I was really like on the bottom of it. So these 14 guys are brilliant, and then Rodenzweig, it's daunting. So I spent a whole year pretty much preparing a sugya on Petach Hamor. That's what, I don't know. I don't know why I was connected to Petach Hamor. That was my sugya. I spent the whole year like learning and make sure everything I said was correct. And one sugya the whole year. And I feel this connection to it somehow. So I have a friend of mine. So we learn. And one time he came really late. He felt so bad. He said, "Okay, fine. What do you want me to donate to in your zuchus?" So I wrote back in English, Petach Hamor. He's like, "Who in the world is Peter?" I wrote in English, P-E-T-E-R, Petach Hamor. So we have this ongoing joke. So he says he can really work hard to get me a Petach Hamor. That'd be really neat to do that mitzvah. But the mitzvah Pidyon Petach Hamor really represents that Hamor, the amelus, the hardships of Klal Yisrael, the hardships of each of us going through. Because after all that amelus, you're going to see if you stick with it, you stick with your ratzon, you stick with the amelus, you stick with the dole umashke mitarasa sharaba. You continue to act like the dali, like that pail, and drawing the water, you're going to see an incredible Yeshua and Gula in your own lives. And we shall be zocha to that, shall lead to the Gula Shlema, the real Gula Shlema for the Tzibur, the Gula Shlema ba'amitas, here v'yameinu, amen v'yameinu. Amen.